You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. Made it to a Friday. It's a meat Friday. Got the Traegers all fired up. In case you want to live vicariously through us, we'll let you know what we have on the Traegers. The official menu is the Muffaletta Pinwheel Steaks with a balsamic reduction. Oh, it's more for Fritzy and me because Paulie, McLovin, and Seton are tucked away comfortably at their homes. But more for us on this Meat Friday, Todd, my best friend now.
And the same amount of food is being made as if everyone was here.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're going to make less because there's fewer people.
No, it's Todd and I, and we've had so much to talk about this morning. We've been laughing. We've been giggling.
It's like the weekend's already started, even though we have 3 hours to do here.
All right, welcome to the program. Get ready for a strange weekend, by the way. When Coastal Carolina BYU is more relevant than Alabama and LSU, you know it's going to be a strange weekend. But I give Coastal Carolina and BYU a lot of credit because they know that they need some help just to get the attention of the playoff selection committee. It's not going to help them get into the, you know, top four, but they are trying. And that is all you can do in a situation like this. They want to get another big win, one of those wins that gets the attention of somebody here. But the fact that two undefeated teams are going to be playing in Conway, South Carolina this weekend, and it has national implications is pretty impressive there. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. Nick Saban is back for the LSU game. LSU is almost a 30-point underdog in this game. The NFL has reinstated Josh Gordon. It feels like around every 6 or 7 months, Josh Gordon gets reinstated, and the Seahawks are going to try this one more time. I mentioned BYU at Coastal Carolina. Ohio State, Michigan State is still on. A&M and Auburn, Clemson and Virginia Tech. We'll have a poll question. We got a play of the day. We got a stat of the day. By the way, the final voting for the next great podcast has begun. We received nearly 2,000 entries. We've narrowed it down to 10 finalists. The 10 finalists have just completed their pilot episode. So you have a chance to listen to this. You can go to nextgreatpodcast.com, listen to these pilot episodes, vote for your favorite. And I'm going to go into business as the executive producer of the one that you do pick out. Move over Ohio State, Michigan, step down Auburn and Alabama, take a seat Texas, Oklahoma. The rivalry, the new rivalry, the big rivalry in college football is BYU and Coastal Carolina. One team's in Utah, the other one is tucked away in Conway, South Carolina. You throw out the records when these two get together, the Cougars and the Chanticleers. All right, they've actually never played each other, but they have taken on the challenge and they're going to play each other. The game was announced yesterday. I don't know if it has any national implications, but both teams undefeated. They're both ranked. College Football Playoff Committee hasn't given BYU much love. They're down to 13. Hard to imagine that even with a win, they would get anywhere near the Final Four. Coastal Carolina, number 18. You know, there's prestige here for them. As fans, we get more football, which is good and a welcome addition to the sports weekend. McLovin, what kind of poll question do you have for me today?
Okay, we're looking at the odds this morning, and we're wondering what is the most likely upset in Week 13, starting with actually Monday night, Steelers -7.5 hosting the Washington football team. Also want to throw out Saints -3 at Atlanta.
No, that's
Rams.
It. No, that's it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's your pick?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's down to 2.5. And I said at the time when I knew they were going to be facing each other two times in the next 3 weeks or 4 weeks that I wouldn't be surprised if Atlanta won one of these games. You have Taysom Hill at quarterback, and now we're going to find out just what kind of quarterback he is. You know, is Atlanta able to make him a passing quarterback, not a running quarterback? You have the Rams at Arizona. You know, that's a 3-point spread. The Colts at Houston. By the way, I stumbled across some unbelievable numbers with a couple of quarterbacks. Here's one for you. Give me the NFL quarterback who has 15 touchdown passes and zero interceptions in his last six games. Yeah, McLovin.
Well, I know who the hottest quarterback in the NFL is, and I'm imagining that's who you're talking about.
Who is that?
Deshaun Watson.
Yes, it is. Ding, 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 ding.
Well, you know why? Because you said right after the Houston.
Yeah, I know. I gave it away.
You gave us a big hint there.
He has thrown 210 consecutive passes without an interception. That's the longest streak in the NFL this season. Let me see if I have another one for you. Now, that one's the big surprise. The other ones have to do with Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. But Deshaun Watson is on a tear right now. And could they somehow pick up a win, surprise the Colts with a game at Houston? By the way, we'll check in with Sean Salisbury, our buddy who does radio in Houston. I'll talk to him about the whole Russell Westbrook, James Harden, John Wall coming to town, and this Houston team that's playing quite well. What else do you have, McLovin?
Okay, we got a listener email off yesterday's Dan Orlovsky thing, which kind of caught fire about Travis Kelce being the best non-quarterback in the NFL. Mm-hmm. He asked, if you could have start with one of the skill positions other than quarterback, would it be great running back, great wide receiver, or great tight end?
I think in today's NFL, I would take tight end because we've seen those tight ends become impactful. And if you do get one, then, you know, you're so much more ahead of everybody else when you have somebody at that position who's a weapon. I think I can find running backs and I can find wide receivers. Tight end's a little bit trickier. Is there anybody who's on the same level, close to the same level as Kelce and Kittle? Can you think of anybody else, McLovin, that you like? Chase Claypool's not really a tight end, is he?
No, Darren Waller, who's actually his stats have fallen a little bit, but he's not. Those guys are so dominant, but Kittle's a little hurt. He's coming back, I think. But what about, could you make an argument like a Derrick Henry if you get a guy who's so much above everybody else?
It depends on what your style is. You know, I give the Titans credit that they went all in on this style, and they're saying that we're a run-first team, a run-second team, and then if we have to pass, then Ryan Tannehill can still use play action because the defenses respect Derrick Henry so much. But I can find – look at all the leaders in receptions and rushing this year. They're not first-round draft picks. Wide receivers and running backs are not first-round draft picks. So it feels like I can find those players. I just don't know if you can find those tight ends that make a difference. And George Kittle and Travis Kelce certainly make a difference. So if you said I could have any of those other players, wide receivers or running backs – or tight ends, I'd take Kelce and Kittle over all of them right now. What else, McLovin?
Okay, this was the pre-show debate on this side of the glass, although we're not on the glass. Okay. You could only watch one game, and Paulie said that he's very interested in Cleveland at Tennessee.
Okay.
My take is that sounds good on paper, but when we look at all the games laid out, I'm not sure that's the one you watch. There's some other good games, but that's the one that we were arguing about. Because there's Indy, Houston, as you mentioned, New Orleans, Atlanta, Cleveland, Tennessee. So we'll see. But I can't watch the Titans. Is there something wrong with me?
Well, you don't like old school football.
No, I don't. I want to see passing.
I like to see it when Derrick Henry is running the way he did in the playoffs last year. Like, it brings back memories of when running backs were the most important people in football. And just that style, you want to talk about taking somebody's manhood away from them. You run the football, and then you have guys who don't want to tackle the running back, and it just brings back memories, Jim Brown to Earl Campbell, where you just had these guys who you had to make a business decision when they came through the hole. And plus, what I love about it is it's kind of counterintuitive to what everybody else is doing. And I feel like there's a place for that in football. If everybody's wide open, everybody's playing, you know, offensive-minded football, and here's Tennessee saying, we're going to drain the clock. We're going to have sustained drives. We're going to run the football and therefore put pressure on you when you get on the field. I like that. And then if you have a good defense, an opportunistic defense, have a good, you know, special teams, you know, that's where you have, you know, a team that is marked for success in the playoffs. And we saw that with Tennessee last year. But I like seeing it, but I only like seeing it in the fourth quarter, if that makes sense. Now, when you watch it and you go, okay, there's 3 yards. All right, there's 7 yards. There's play action. There's 4 yards. Okay, it's a little dry, but that's the way football used to be. And to see it now and have it be successful, or at least it's different, then I like that. I don't want to see everybody throw for 400 yards. I'd like to see it a little bit more level playing field. I'd like the defenses to at least have an opportunity to – it feels like we've done everything we can possibly do to take away whatever advantage a defensive player has. Like, I don't even know what is an advantage for a defensive player right now. I don't know if we've given them one in the last 10 years because we're so intent on having numbers, having excitement, having fantasy football, the gambling aspect of this. Everybody's adding offense here. But I like what Tennessee does. But I like it in the fourth quarter. And that's where, you know, I'm watching the Ravens, and you're watching Derrick Henry. And in the overtime, and I went, this is fun to watch. Because that guy right there, everybody had the baddest guy on the playground, right? Or in the backyard. There was the guy you went, oh, I don't want to tackle him. That's Derrick Henry. These are grown men. And it feels like they're not all in. Like, nobody's blowing up Derrick Henry. You know, when you think about it? Even they try to, but they're not blowing up Derrick Henry. Yeah, Seton.
It's kind of interesting, though, that it took him a couple of years to really hit his stride, no pun intended. Is that more on Derrick Henry or the Titans figuring out how to use him the right way?
I always wondered that because it felt like he was the biggest guy on the field at times, and he ran hard. But then even at Alabama, he wasn't their primary starter the whole time he was there. I think he got into the NFL, and maybe it was one of those, hey, I'm kind of finding out who I am, and then, you know, Mike Vrabel's finding out who he is as well as a running back, and then they realize what they had. They strengthened their offensive line, and, you know, Marcus Mariota didn't work out. Tannehill came in, and it just sort of fell into place, but I don't know if that was scripted. Because you look back to Trent Richardson at Alabama, and you're thinking, wow, that guy can't miss in the NFL, and then he did miss. I think Alabama running backs, Alabama defensive backs, we're not quite sure how good they are when they get to the NFL. And I think a team's going to have that decision with Patrick Surtain, who his dad played in the NFL. I think he's going to be a top 10 pick. He's a defensive back with Alabama. And I think that, you know, you're thinking about running backs and you're not quite sure. Certainly coming out of that program there. All right, so Sean Salisbury will join us. The host of the NFL Red Zone, Scott Hansen, will join us. And the always popular, controversial Nick Wright from Fox Sports 1, First Things First. He'll join us coming up as well. Anything else that we have, McLovin, as far as poll question possibilities? No-brainers, no-brainer gifts. Got T-shirts, hoodies, hats, our 2021 calendar, and more. Go to danpatrick.com. And this program is brought to you by 1-800-Flowers. Celebrate the season with Christmas flower arrangements. If you can't be there, you're going to be the hit. To order 1-800-Flowers.com, you see the radio icon and enter code Patrick. You're good to go. They have great deals for you. What else, McLovin?
I think Paulie has a poll question.
Oh, okay.
Dan, I just want to do a quick debunking on McLovin. McLovin likes to think that the Titans don't score points and the Browns are a running team. Guess which team, which matchup this weekend has the highest over-under, which means Vegas expects it to have the most points scored. The Browns-Texans over-under is 54 points. That's the most in the NFL this weekend. Hmm. So they do score. The way they score is not 50 passes, but they do score. The bunk.
Okay. Now you're saying the Colts and Texans?
Browns-Titans. Browns-Titans over-under is 54.
Okay.
That's Saints-Falcons, which you think those are offensive teams. The over-under is 45. I was shocked.
Well, I wonder if Drew Brees was healthy, what the over-under would be with the Saints.
I have another question for you, Dan.
Okay.
Do you think the Saints would like to have a game where they're down 14 at half to see what Taysom Hill could do just passing before they get to January?
How about
deep down they would like to.
How about down 10?
Okay.
How about down 10?
I guess my point is, are they confident that if Drew Brees was not present, that they could pass their way to a victory with Taysom Hill in the second half of a playoff game?
I don't know because, and I would say no, but then I don't know if Baltimore is confident with Lamar Jackson if they were down 14. And that's the reigning MVP. So it's not a slight on Taysom Hill. I think it's a quarterback who plays that style. And we don't even know if Lamar Jackson's playing, do we, McLovin? I don't know if the Ravens have cleared him yet.
Harbaugh wouldn't comment one way or other.
Yeah.
I mean, as an Andy Dalton fan, I kind of hope he doesn't on Monday night or Tuesday night. because the Cowboys could sneak out a win. But by the way, did you see your Ravens schedule? That's, they could make a run if they get healthy, but will they be healthy enough?
Yeah. Do you have that schedule? Because it feels like they're going to be a 10-win team.
Is that enough to get in? Probably. I mean, are you talking with the 7-team or 18?
I'm going 17 because if we were going to 18, we probably would have done it this past week. But if I'm looking at just the wild card round projections right now, let's say that the Steelers have the number one seed, and we'll give it to the Saints in the NFC. That would mean Chiefs would be hosting the Dolphins, Colts would be hosting the Titans, and the Bills would be hosting the Browns. In the NFC, Seahawks would be, let's say, the number two seed. They would host Arizona. The Buccaneers would be at Green Bay in a rematch, and the Rams would be at the Giants, assuming the Giants would win the NFC East. So that's, you know, Baltimore, only if you go to a 16-team playoff, would then make the playoffs. You'd also have Chicago right now would probably be the team that would make it if there were 16 teams, 8 in the NFC and AFC. Believe it or not, the Chicago Bears would probably be that team that would make it into the playoffs. What else, McLovin?
Well, here's the schedule. Dallas, Cleveland, and we don't really know who Cleveland is, then Jacksonville, Giants, and Bengals to end the season. I don't know. The Giants might be a little tricky, but the Bengals and Jags are pretty good.
How many of those games are at home?
I don't have that hand.
Okay. All right. So run that down again.
Dallas on Tuesday.
Yeah. Is that at Dallas?
Ooh. Efforting.
Okay.
Let's see. Then they have Cleveland, Jacksonville, Giants, and Cincy.
Now, they blew out Cleveland earlier in the year.
Yeah. It's in Baltimore. Dallas this weekend, by the way.
Okay. So it's in Dallas.
No, it's in Baltimore.
Oh, okay.
In Baltimore.
All right.
So even with Robert Griffin, they're going to probably be favored in that game.
Is Robert Griffin going to be able to play?
Oh, that's a great question. Or what's the who's that backup that we love?
Trace McSorley.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't stop Trace McSorley.
You can only hope to contain him. One of my favorite bars in New York City, McSorley's. It might be the oldest. Is it the oldest bar in New York? And
yeah,
is it the oldest bar in America?
Yeah, Dan, I think it's the only bar that's been continuous. There's bars that opened earlier, but I think they've been continuous. I had to be, I was asked to leave there once I got so hammered. One of the bartenders or the guy serving the drinks,
yeah.
You know, they wear the white shirts and the ties and they had the little things. And we were all drinking really hard. And he put his arm around me. He goes, son, you're done. And he turned up and walked me out the door.
But
not like a bouncer.
Do they have drinks at McSorley's? Because I only remember they'd have these small, they weren't even pints. They were like.
Yeah, they look like A&W root beer mugs.
Yes.
And they hold probably about 9 ounces. And they just bring them in waves at the table.
And then you get cheese and onions and crackers, I think.
Yeah. And they have like pretzels and stuff like that.
Oh, they
that.
Do. It's okay.
Just, it's a beer bar.
I went with my wife when she was my girlfriend. And she used to go there. She went to school in New York at NYU. And she said, oh, we got to go to this pub. And we go into McSorley's. And there's no bathroom for women. They just had a bathroom. And I don't know if they didn't used to let women in, but it was a universal bathroom, which I had not seen growing up in a small town in Ohio. And she had no problem with it. She was like, all right, whatever. And we had a grand old time at McSorley's, like an afternoon beer buzz. It was good. Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, but it is funny, though, because it is a sloppy drinking beer bar. It's not like a high end.
Yeah. How
Irish
do you get
pub?
Thrown out of a sloppy drinking beer bar?
I was the sloppiest, but what is funniest there is when like tourists come in from all over America
yes.
and they have like their kids with them and think, we're going to see a New York attraction. It is not for kids. It's barely for anybody.
All right. Sean Salisbury will join us coming up. We'll talk to him about what's going on in Houston, certainly with the play of Deshaun Watson. What's the big difference here? And also with Russell Westbrook Jr. III wanting out. The fact that James Harden goes, now this is reportedly, I'd rather play with John Wall. So I'd rather play with a guy coming off an Achilles surgery who hasn't played in 2 years, who loves to handle the ball, as opposed to Russell Westbrook, who is your buddy, and you said you wanted to get rid of Chris Paul and you wanted to bring in Russell Westbrook, and that lasted a year. So we'll talk to Sean about that. Scott Hansen How many episodes for the NFL Red Zone?
200th episode coming up this Sunday.
Yeah, but that's nothing. I did 2,000 sports centers, Todd.
You should make them aware of that before they get too excited and celebrate too much about what their accomplishment.
Scott does a great job. NFL Networks, Red Zone, and then Nick Wright will join us coming up a little bit later on. Your phone calls are always welcome. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle, @ThePShow. We'll take a break. It's coming up on 22 after the hour here on this Friday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Ever wonder how far an extra mile is? Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and you can find out. There's over 250 authorized dealerships backed by a sales force ready to help you with everything. They want to customize your vehicle, they help you. Certified service to financing solutions tailored specifically to your unique business or personal needs, they can help you with that. They offer powerful and efficient vans that can run on your choice of either gas or diesel. You're going to love the Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. I got to see that one firsthand. Mercedes-Benz Metris is also a very versatile van, each tailored to match your work or play lifestyle. Blind spot assist with rear cross traffic alert. They have the MBUX voice command technology, directions, weather forecast, comfort control, and everything. Everything in between. So whether you're enjoying life on the trail or working hard on the job, see how far that extra mile really is by taking the first step into an authorized Mercedes-Benz van dealership. For a test drive today, Mercedes-Benz vans, some equipment described is optional. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Oh, I love this audience. I love that you play along. We got people who are sending pictures of when they went to McSorley's Pub. Is it the oldest bar in America?
I think it's in continue. It's been in business since 1854 without a break, but we're checking. Maybe we should do a field trip day in a couple months.
Well, I did do it. I walked by it a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't want to do an afternoon beer buzz, but I was curious if how many people were in there at McSorley's Pub. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. Ethan, who does our stats from Stats Inc. You know, you guys know Ethan, right? So Ethan just sent me a note. He said, we have crunched all the numbers here and determined that it is possible, as of this moment, for the NFC East winner to have a record of 4-11-1, which means, McLovin, your Eagles could win the NFC East going 4-11-1.
And hosting a playoff game.
Yes, and hosting a playoff game. Let's bring in Sean Salisbury, the great morning host, Sean Salisbury Show on Sports Talk 790 in Houston. Somebody's got to win the NFC East, right?
Dan, you're giving those numbers out like it's a team I quarterbacked. Sean Salisbury's 4-11-1 team makes the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It is, you know, and every one of them's got something to like, but a lot of them got something to hate and a whole lot to dislike. I know McLovin is loving it, the fact that his team could very well, like you said, host a playoff game. But my gut tells me, just a hunch, that they'll be an early out. Okay, just a hunch.
I know, but it's always weird like that, Sean, where we go, that team, somebody is going to have 10 wins and be on the road in the playoffs to face the Eagles or the Giants or Washington, Dallas, whoever it might be. And strange things happen when you get to the playoffs, because that team that struggled just to make it to the playoffs, as opposed to that team that goes, okay, we're going to be a wild card team. And, yep. You know, those teams are dangerous. It's like Seattle many years ago when New Orleans had to go to Seattle, and Seattle won with a 7-9 record.
That's exactly right. Well, now, remember, there was talk all over the country. How in the world do we reseed? We got to start to change this. We can't have the Seattle Seahawks host the game. But, and Dan, it is, because you get to the point, it's like that injury, or when we saw the Jordan situation when he was not feeling well, you kind of take pressure off yourself because nobody expects you to win. Think about if Philadelphia or the Giants are hosting a playoff game. Everybody in the world is going to say Vegas, they're going to put the line out there. So as a player, you kind of take pressure off, you let it rip, you cut it loose, because everything's a bonus. And then they do become dangerous, and they've been under that struggle all year, so they know what adversity looks like, and then they have a chance to overcome it. And you never let a team hang around, and teams like that hang around late in the third quarter and the fourth quarter, then all of a sudden the favorite starts to look around and say, maybe we're not that good, and you end up losing. And it does happen, and you're right, that 7-9 Seattle team took care of their business at home against New Orleans.
And also, the difference, though, this year is there really is no home field advantage, so that'll be right. beneficial for the team traveling. Why is the national media fascinated with Carson Wentz?
Good guy. Not a self-promoter. I was thinking about this the other day, Dan. If any other quarterback, or most, should I say, he wouldn't be playing most of the time. Now, the fact that they have a backup who's a rookie, who we know is a winner, but you paid him a lot. And Carson doesn't really bother anybody, Dan. What's not to like? He came in as the underdog. Remember, even though he's a high draft pick, comes out of North Dakota State, so he's kind of like, oh, small school guy. So you kind of root for that.
But why did they draft Jalen Hurts? Why did they draft him?
Well, why would the, you know, you got the Redskins or the Washington football team now. You take Robert Griffin and DeShanahan, you know, Mike liked Kirk Cousins as well. Ain't nothing wrong with that. We draft two linemen. Why the hell can't we draft two quarterbacks? So to me, it's.
But a second round pick, though, that you use, right?
Dan, I'll tell you why. Because that ought to tell you how they feel about him. They didn't draft him to move him to slot or wide receiver or running back. Jalen Hurts is a quarterback, and I think he proved by going to Lincoln Riley that, oh, we know he's a winner. It's Alabama under the Saban umbrella. Well, he goes to Lincoln Riley, and boom, he proves that he can still win and still throw it. I actually love the draft pick because it's either going to bring out the best in Carson Wentz or, unfortunately, whether it's Jalen Hurts or not, bringing out the worst. I did think Carson's a good guy people root for. But he's playing, missing easy throws. The mechanics are horrendous, and it seems to me like he's always a split second late. And when you're not pulling the trigger on open throws, then that's a problem. I will not be shocked if this continues, that if Jalen Hurts doesn't get legitimate run. And I root for Carson Wentz like everybody else does, but he's not above criticism. He is not playing good football.
Would you rather have Baker Mayfield or Carson Wentz?
Right now, the way it plays, it's not even close. You'd rather have Baker Mayfield now. If you told me, Sean, Carson Wentz is going to get that swagger or that feel back that he had when he got hurt when they went to the Super Bowl, that I'm going to get that Carson Wentz, well, then I'm taking that Carson Wentz. But, Dan, sometimes you hit the yips, like, you know, whether it's putting or whether it's throwing the football, or me, when you have the yips in an entire 10-year career that you just try to fight through it, right, is it's hard to overcome. And he's in a very difficult, intelligent, passionate football town. And when that stuff starts to creep in, it's tough to get it out. Regardless of what he says, he's not bothered by the trade talk. No human being can't be bothered. So I personally, today I want Baker Mayfield because he's got a winning team. He's starting to feel it. If you told me I was going to get the old Carson Wentz, well, I'm taking the old Carson Wentz. Right now, it's a no-brainer. I'm not sure I'm not taking Jalen Hurts over Carson Wentz the way he's playing right now.
Sean Salisbury, morning host of the Sean Salisbury Show and Sports Talk 790 in Houston. Of course, former NFL quarterback. What is the difference with Deshaun Watson in the last six games?
A big part of the question going in for me, Dan, and I think a lot of people wondered, what will Deshaun Watson do when he loses the crutch to lean on in DeAndre Hopkins? Well, we've seen it. Their passing offense has not suffered. Matter of fact, he's gotten better. I always had a problem with him, enormous talent, great player, the hero syndrome, that he wasn't willing not to make every play. And the best quarterbacks I've ever been around know when throwing it out of the back of the end zone, when not to take a sack. Now, I don't want to teach the hero part out of him, but the last 2 weeks I've watched him, one time 2 weeks ago in the red zone, scrambles out, not there, throws it out of the back of the end zone. The Watson I saw in the past would have tried to make some spectacular play, and he's used to two or three clunkers a year where it's like, what are you thinking? He hasn't had one of those this year. The distribution of the football, I think he's confident with Tim Kelly. And this is on a team when they're not playing well. If their situation was reversed and they were 7-4, he'd be in the MVP talk. He's having a marvelous year. But it's his ability to know when to throw it away. He's making the simple play. The big home run, Dan, the grand slam's always there. He's learning better how to hit singles. The flat's open. Get it out now. Don't pass up an open receiver to hope that you got a home run. And in the process of his unbelievable ability, the home run's coming. So, and they push the ball down the field, and he's taken calculated smart chances. And he's maturing. Good gracious. He's had another coordinator. So he's starting to settle into the position on a team that isn't real good. And they're allowing him to set his feet, because even though they don't run it well, the offensive line does pass protect well. He's going to be an MVP guy for a long time. And he makes people around him better. And he's also making himself better by knowing when to throw the ball away and that you can't make every play.
And I wonder, and I've always felt that he held on to the ball too long. And you're
no
right.
Question.
And,
yep.
Yeah,
no question.
And the smart ones, they get the ball away to live to see another day. But I'm also curious, has Eric Bieniemy, like, it felt like Romeo Crennel might get this job somehow. Because, right. You know, during this pandemic and trying to get candidates in and whatever it might be, if you're Eric Bieniemy and you know Houston's open, the Jets probably is going to be open, maybe the Bears will be open. I mean, it's probably going to be four or five openings here. If Eric Bieniemy is who we think he is, offensive-minded, would you rather go with Deshaun Watson with what you've seen or go to the Jets? With, you know, you're going to get Trevor Lawrence. Would you go to Jacksonville with Justin Fields? Would you go to Chicago with whoever?
I always want the proven elite quarterback that's young, as opposed to the what might be. Remember, Sam Darnold was supposed to be that guy. And unfortunately, he's been coached poorly. So while Trevor Lawrence is what we call a generational, it seems like every year, though, a generational guy's coming
along. But how is Sam Darnold coached poorly? I mean, Adam Gase came out and said, look, I made a mistake. How do you?
Well, I don't like the way they go about their business offensively, play calling. I just don't. I could, Dan, if we were sitting in a show in an hour, we could talk about it. And I'll tell you what, let's face facts. Darnold's not above this criticism. He forces too many balls. And part of being a great quarterback, and you mentioned, like, in Mahomes and Rodgers and Watson hold the ball to him, those great ones throw the ball away and know when not to take a sack. Darnold's idea is, my arm's so good, I'll just, hey, we're on 0-11, let me take another shot. And he did it at SC. He just had better players at SC at times. So I think coached, but I don't think Darnold's made the progress necessarily. Look at Lamar Jackson's growth before this year. Look at what Josh Allen's done. So coaching does matter, but you've got to process the information. But back to, if I'm Eric Bieniemy, I don't want to take, well, what if Trevor Lawrence is good? Well, what if, and he may be spectacular, or what if, Fields is spectacular? I got a 25-year-old making $40 million or close to it a year, who's on a bad football team that loads you on his shoulders, has proven it. He's got national championship, that type of DNA, and everybody loved. There's nothing he can't do. Why would I? The only thing for me is, are you concerned about the consistency and the commitment of the ownership? Because if you're just talking quarterback, I'm not taking the one that could be. I'm taking the one that is. And Deshaun Watson's one of the five best at his position in the league, and he's showing it week to week.
What's the local reaction to John Wall for Russell Westbrook?
Lateral move. I think people here feel like you lost an all-around better player, but you got better as a team. And Coach Silas said yesterday, Dan, in his presser, and I was listening to you earlier talk about how the chemistry is going to work. And they were talking about fit. And he said, well, it's going to be interesting. It'd be great when John Wall pushes the ball up the floor like he's done in his career and gets the ball to guys on the wing. And I'm thinking, is James listening to this? That John Wall's going to be pushing it? But I think fans, we didn't want it to change. And we know that when James wants a change, that it happens, well, every year. You're on a one-year contract when you're a star that comes here. But, hey, this franchise was stagnant. Getting to the playoffs wasn't enough. Why not try something different? And there's a lot of ifs, Dan. If Boogie Cousins is healthy, if John Wall's healthy after being out 2 years. So I think the fans here are ready for it. And I think that I honestly don't think that it was a big deal for them. Oh, we lost Russ. It's like, oh, well, we still got James. We got some new ones, got a new coach. Let's see how this one works. And we'll see what John Wall's bringing after 2 years of being out. But he looks explosive in some of his workouts, but lateral move for most of the people here.
But if it's true that James Harden preferred John Wall, can he say that you get rid of Westbrook and then James Harden still wants out? Like, why am I don't give a damn what James Harden wants. I have to look at what's good for the Rockets. If James doesn't want to be there, I don't care if you like John Wall or not.
And I'm hoping that Coach Silas has this. It's one thing to you know, we know about catering to superstars, and there's no sport in the world that caters to their stars more than the NBA. But I can tell you this. I'm hoping that Silas says, as he mentioned, I'm going to give him his space, but we're going to run the offense like I want to do it, and we're going to try to maximize everybody's ability. I'm with you, Dan. Nobody other than LeBron James, I'm telling you, nobody on a professional NBA franchise has more pull or has had more pull with when the flight charter leaves to go on a trip than James Harden. LeBron and James in that order as far as pull within their organization. Well, Daryl Morey's gone now. They haven't won an NBA title. So I think people are starting to wear thin on great offensive player, great player. But I don't care either. You're either going to buy in or we're going to move you. And if you don't want to be here, I can get a bunch of assets for you. So we'll see what James Harden shows up. You know he's going to score, Dan. But after a year, what does that mean? John Wall's gone next year. So it's getting to the point now where people are growing a little tired of it because everything James wants, James gets. How about returning that with enjoying it, getting in, following suit, and putting a ring on somebody's finger? People here aren't sure that's going to happen.
Have a great weekend. Always great to talk to you, buddy.
Great to talk to you too, buddy. Thank you for having me.
That's Sean Salisbury, morning host of the Sean Salisbury Show, Sports Talk 790 in Houston. Yeah, I don't know if James Harden gets to that point where he goes, yeah, I'm scoring 30 every night, so what? Because you get comfortable doing that, but then what do you have to show for it? When your career is all said and done, all right, you got 25,000 points. What else? Nothing. Hey, I got a sixth man of the year. Great. What else do you got? And I don't know if he comes to that realization, and maybe it's not this year, maybe it's another year, 2 years, where James Harden goes, I might be the second option here, but that'd be pretty cool to win a title. Maybe. Take a break. Play of the day coming up, and your phone calls will settle on our poll question as well back after this on The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, and you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play. The play is called play. Of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
I'm going to play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
Option to the near side. Daniels hesitates, cuts it back, finds running room. 25-20 to the 15 of the 10. Touchdown, Air Force. Hussey Daniels starts right, back the other way. 37 yards to pay dirt.
It's our play of the day, brought to you by Built Bar, simply the best tasting protein bar around. We love all 18 amazing flavors, mint brownie, coconut almond, pumpkin chocolate chip cookie. And you'll believe me when you taste it. Go to BuiltBar.com, enter the promo code DP for 20% off. That was courtesy of Learfield IMG College. The Air Force quarterback was 7-for-9 for 127 yards. Air Force throwing the ball only 9 times in that win over Utah State. I got an update on McSorley's Pub in the East Village in New York. Seton believes it's the second oldest bar in New York, the Earl Inn, or is it the Ear Inn? Maybe it's the Ear Inn.
The Ear Inn is supposed to be the oldest bar in New York City. I'm not sure where McSorley's falls in that, but I think that's like the oldest Irish pub in New York.
The
maybe.
Ear Inn. Is the Ear Inn still open? I've never.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. It's, yeah. And it used to be right around the corner from our studio in New York.
Really?
I have to say, I spent many a lunch there.
Oh, so down by Varick?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it's McLovin.
What's the one where we used to go a lot where Dylan Thomas died in the bathroom or something?
The White Horse.
The White Horse. Yeah, that's pretty historical, right? Or is that not like old-timey, just a lot of things happen there?
That's pretty old-timey, and it's more of a traditional pub with, you know, like they have a little bit to eat, a little bit to drink, and it's not raucous.
Yes, Todd.
Do people wax poetic about the Ear Inn?
I see. Wax and ear. Thank you, Todd. By the way, back to McSorley's.
Wow.
Among the notable people who went to McSorley's Pub, Abraham Lincoln.
Nice.
Ulysses S. Grant. Lincoln never paid his tab, by the way. You know, he started that speech and, you know, then we go, okay, Abe, we get it. Teddy Roosevelt. Hunter S. Thompson. Woody Guthrie. Dustin Hoffman was a patron. All right, that's pretty pretty good list there. I didn't make the list. Thought maybe I'd make the list, but apparently not. The Ear
of people
Inn.
Who have played Abraham Lincoln who have also been
yes.
in McSorley's.
Yes, I played Abraham Lincoln in a Sandler movie. 2 rave reviews. Mine. I gave myself rave reviews. Yes, Paulie.
I was curious if Todd had ever been to an like an old TGI Fridays or a classic Applebee's bump. That's like one of the originals.
That's Chili's, actually. I think I went to the 1937 Chili's. Really nice. It had like muskets up there and weird things.
Thank you, Todd. All right, Michael in Iowa. Hey, Mike, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan, love the show. I've been listening for a long time. You know, all this Derrick Henry talk, I mean, thinking about my team, the Vikings, and there's just no love for Dalvin Cook and the work he's done, especially after signing his contract.
Well, he's been banged up. I do love Dalvin Cook and thought that he was going to be leading the league in rushing, but Derrick Henry gets a whole lot better in December. Either that or because of the weather, those defensive players aren't as anxious to tackle Derrick Henry. Maybe there's some kind of correlation between those two, but Derrick Henry gets better in December. Austin in Nashville. Hey, Austin, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. First time, long time, 6'3", 245. Okay, so you guys posed the question earlier about Henry's volume just kind of picking up this year. I know there hasn't been a focus on the Titans. So I thought I'd give a brief history. You know, we had Marcus Mariota. The Titans had five different coordinators in 5 years. It's hard to run the ball when Marcus is behind. We had DeMarco Murray for 2 years. And then under LaFleur, there was a split backfield under Deion Lewis. So finally, with Mike Vrabel and Arthur Smith, they've committed to running the ball. Last thing for McLovin, talking about the Titans and their offensive production, the Titans actually ranked fifth this year in the NFL per game, behind only Pittsburgh, Tampa, and Arizona. Suck it back, bro.
All right. Well, thank you, Austin. Yes, McLovin.
Does anyone have smelling salts for that Titans call? I'm a little out. Falling asleep here with that.
What?
I mean, I know Arthur Smith took it from the split backfield.
Oh, I love snarky McLovin. Kyle in California. Hey, Kyle.
ADP.
Hey, bud.
Wow, a smelling salt reference. That's early. I love it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think we're being naive with the Harden thing. I mean, do we really think he's seeing John Wall come in and is like, hell yeah, this is my ticket to the championship? Harden's not just a star, right? He's one of the four or five best guys of the last 10 years. It's inevitable before he sees they're not contending and he's got to get out. I don't know who it is. It's not going to be Brooklyn. Like, you just can't give up, you know, quarters or dimes for the dollar. You know, if it's Philly and it's Ben Simmons, I don't know. You know, does Golden State make the big move? I just don't see him sticking it through the year.
Well, I don't think he does either, but I think he wants to be a good soldier prior to the trade deadline. The last thing you want is that he's creating some kind of unrest behind the scenes, or, you know, there's tension, controversy, whatever it is. And you got a brand new head coach. Steven Silas is your new head coach, and you're coming into this situation. I think if you said to Steven Silas, hey, would you like to wipe the slate clean and try to rebuild? Or do you want to go into this season not quite sure what you have? You might want to wipe the slate clean. But I do think James Harden will be a good soldier prior to the trade deadline. 1 hour, two more to go.